Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to talk about getting out of your box tonight. You know, take the lid off, get out of the box, move into all that God has for you. You know, how many of you have ever felt like you're just boxed in, you're limited on what you can do and what you can accomplish? And anybody ever been that way? You know, actually, most of these boxes that we put ourselves in are self-inflicted. A box of our own thinking. You know, we can think a lot of things that's not really happening. It's just that's what we think it is, you know. You know, somebody can, people can be talking and somebody walk in a room and then they quit, and immediately they start thinking, oh, they're talking about me. Probably not so at all. You know, they were probably just discussing some confidential things. You know, and then there's the box of doubt and unbelief, and the box that most people deal with is a box of fear. And then you can have unforgiveness, the box of unforgiveness, circumstances, no apparent opportunities. All of these are boxes that we seem to put ourselves in. You know, our own family traditions and ideas. And then a box of our own environment, our own community. You know, some people say, well, if I'd have grown up in a better environment. Well, that ain't got nothing to do with it. You can change all that. Everything I've talked about are things that you can change. Hello? We put ourselves in these boxes because when we put ourselves in these boxes, then they dictate to us what is possible and what is not possible. You know, the challenge is to get out of the box and live the life God wants you to have. You know, life's too short to think small and to believe small and to talk small and act small. We need to act large with God. God's a big God. You know? You know, most people can do more than they think they can. But they usually do less because they don't think they can do any more. You know, John Mason, in his book Conquering an Enemy Called Average, he said, he quoted someone else, but he said, when a man puts a limit on what he will do, he has put a limit on what he can do. Then another individual said this, Melvin Evans said, the men who build the future are those who know the greater things are yet to come, and they themselves will help bring them about. The blazing sun of hope illuminates their minds and they never stop to doubt. They haven't got time. You know, if you don't put a high value on your dreams and your thoughts, nobody else will. You know, and people that are great achievers are very rarely what the rest of the world wants to call our realistic thinkers. Now, is that realistic? Do you know that most every great invention that ever come around didn't come under the heading of realistic thinking? Yeah, I've been across the Golden Gate Bridge many, many times. The first time when I was 16, I think. And you know, the engineers said that's not a realistic thing. It couldn't be done. Go read the story about it. Anybody ever read the story about it? The engineers, they said that type of bridge was not realistically, that wasn't thinking realistically, but it happened. You know, back, you know, when I was in high school and running track, and then even later than that, they said, oh, nobody will ever run a 4-minute mile. that they did. You know, we have to develop the capacity to ignore what other people think are impossibilities. Amen. And think possibly. Even in the natural. But Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. The only way you can find out how high you can fly is to spread your wings of faith. Hello? You know, many people don't accomplish because they don't think they can. I don't know. They used to be some little story. I don't know. My grandma told it to me when I was a kid. Something about some train trying to get up the hill. And it's, I think I can. I don't know. But it finally got over the hill, you know. What I got out of it was, if you think you can, you can. You know. Now, John Mason, again in his book, Conquering the Enemy Called Average, consider how many fantastic projects have miscarried because of small thinking or have been strangled in their birth by a cowardly imagination. Do you realize that you're in a building that nobody had ever thought could be put together? In fact, the company that made the steel that's in this building, because they said a steel building metal, they had to buy a new computer, and their engineers had to work on it to, you know, do you look how far we are spanning here without any support post. That's a long span without support post. This ceiling, Ross McCready developed this ceiling, and some of the people said, "Oh, I don't see how that's possible," but we did it. Hello. You see, what I'm trying to get you to realize is that if you will think in line with God's word, there is nothing that is impossible. Now, you say, oh, well, they're talking about spirit. No, it's not. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things. He didn't say spiritual things. He included that. He includes the spiritual, but it's all things. You see, today we must determine to get out of our small thinking, get out of the box, and walk to the true potential that we have in God. Now, you know, people put a lid on their box and put themselves in a box they live with small thoughts. They live in a small existence. Hey, get out and enjoy the big world that God created. See, Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, the way you get out of the box and take the lid off is to renew your mind with the word of God so that you start thinking in line with God's word instead of thinking in line with the way the world thinks. Did you ever notice that the world thinks negatively? Did you ever notice that in the word of God, it's always positive? Anybody ever notice that but me? Hello. You know, see the promises of God and start thinking bigger thoughts in line with what the Bible has to say. You know, people go through life all weighted down, held back by all kinds of things that keep them from this accomplishing in the natural and keep them from accomplishing in the spiritual what God would have them to accomplish. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, how many of you ever watched the Olympics? Have you noticed that when they're over there, they're warming up, they got on a warm-up suit and stuff, but when they go out on that track and they take their starting positions, they have stripped off everything but just enough clothes to cover them so they can run the race. Now, I could go over here and I can play basketball with what I got on here, but I'm not going to be as efficient as I would if I had on a pair of basketball shoes and some shorts and a shirt that's not binding me when I'm trying to shoot. Hello? If you ever notice that, look at the old boys in the on deck circle. They'd be swinging the bat and they got a heavy ring on that bat. But when they go up there, they kick that ring off. They get rid of the weight. It's a weight. But what it's doing is helping you to, so when you get up there, you don't have that weight on it, you can get a better swing. Hello? See, we understand all of this in the natural, but we need to do the same thing here. You know, things like we need to lay aside things like unforgiveness, memories of past failures. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. It's in the past. It's done. It's over. Maybe you messed up. Maybe somebody else messed up that caused you to mess up. Anyway, it's over. Now, get out of that. Don't stay in that box with all that mess. Get out of it and go on. You know, unforgiveness doesn't hinder the person that caused you a problem. The unforgiveness is hurting you, not them. It keeps your faith from working. You know, many people are weighted down with guilt or shame, with regret, the box of regret. Too many people got the box of regret around. Hey, man, we need to just tear these boxes up and get rid of them. Hello, anybody get anything out of this tonight? This is just good practical talking tonight. I mean, you know, just talking to. That's sort of like these Wednesday nights. I just sort of like to just talk to you. You know, sort of like the fireside chats that one of the presidents had. You remember anybody old enough to remember that? You know, that's what I do. I just sort of talk to you about life. You know, so many times, many people, they get so zeroed in on spiritual things. And yes, we do need to be aware of all of our spiritual things, but we got to remember that we are living a life and God wants us to live a life. And God said he wanted us to have a good life, life and more abundantly. And he tells us in the Word of God how to have this abundant life. And it's to get rid of some of the things I just been talking about. You know, some people are in the box. They don't know. They say, well, I failed. I don't know. I guess God can take care of me, but I don't know whether he will or not after I've messed up. Hey, God is ready, willing, and able to take care of you, to help you to be the best you can be spiritually and in the natural. If you're willing to believe him. See, God wants to bless you. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you know God wants to bless you? Actually, he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Now, I want you to get the rest of that scripture. That's Ephesians 3:20 that I know. Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, not according to him, but according to the power that works in us. See, the exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think does not come from him, but it comes from according to the power that's working in us. What is the power that's working in us? That's the power of God, the Holy Spirit. See, so many times we're thinking he is the one that's going to give us this exceedingly abundant above all we can ask and think. But the Bible says according to the power that's working in us. Isn't that what the Bible says? You read it there? But so many times we see the abundant and all that we ask and things that we can, we think that he's going to do it, and we don't get that last clause in there. So then that is saying that if we're going to get the exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, then we're going to have to look on the inside. Look to the one on the inside. Then you go back and you begin to see, and it said that when he comes, that he would not talk about himself, but he would talk to you about what the Father is saying about you. Hello. See, throw off all of this stuff and begin to agree with God's word and get involved with God's word, and you begin to see that things is going to change. Now, you know, we all know the story of Peter walking on the water. But you know what? He had to get out of the box of natural thinking. Now, you know, we'll just read the story real quick. Now in the fourth watch of the night, I'm reading out of Matthew 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, said, "Be of good cheer, as I do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched his hand out and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, you know, besides Jesus, Peter's the only water walker I know. Hello? You know, humanly speaking, Peter did what nobody else ever done. You know, he just saw Jesus and he said, hey, can I come out there? And Jesus said, "Oh yeah, come on." Now, Peter didn't stop and analyze, because if he'd have stopped and analyzed it, he probably never got out of the boat, because his human thinking would have took over, right? He didn't ask any of the other disciples, had they ever seen anybody walk on water? He didn't start thinking, "Well, now Jesus can do it, but he, look who he is. Oh, man, that's a human impossibility." But Peter didn't analyze it. He didn't think about it. He just acted. That's what we need to do sometimes with the Word of God. We need to just start acting instead of quit thinking about it and trying to analyze it and figure it out. He didn't stop to try to figure out how Jesus was walking on the water. All he said to come, "I want to come out there." And Jesus said, "Hey, come on, man, come on. You can get out here too." And he went out there. Hello? But now Peter did what a lot of people do. He started well. He got out of the boat. He started walking on the water. I don't know what he thought, but he might have, "Man, this is pretty good." Man, he started looking around when he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at everything else. He put himself back in the box of doubt and unbelief. and he started to sink. That's exactly what we do. We grab hold of the Word of God. We start out. We're starting good. And then all of a sudden, all the circumstances, everything piles in on top of us. And we put ourselves in a box of unbelief. And everything starts going wrong. Hello. He looked at the wind. Fear took over. That's what happens to us. We start out with the things of God. And some little something doesn't line up like we think it should. And fear comes in. Oh, man. Oh, what am I going to do? As a kid, something would happen. We'd be believing God. Something would happen. And I'd say, oh, Dad, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to do what we always do. We're just going to keep believing God. He didn't even get upset about it. You know, that's after I'd become a teenager and understood, you know, I understood the family and finances of the family and so forth and so on. And I hadn't matured as much as he had, you know. I'd learned a lot, but now something had happened and I said, oh, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to do what we always do, son. We're going to believe God. That's the way he lived. I don't know. Doug may have been with him on the road because Doug used to travel way back there with him on the road. Rich went around. Hey, y'all might have said the same thing, and he probably told you, we're going to do what we always do. We're going to believe God. Did y'all ever ask him? Yeah, both of them raising their hands said, yeah. Because, hey, things happen out there when we're out on the road. But, see, he does not allow that, and I've learned to do that, not allow those things to put me in this box, but I'm just going to keep believing God. So what? Some stuff happens. It's going to, because the enemy's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting the promises of God. You just got to expect it when you get out there. When you start flying with your wings of faith, you just need to expect the enemy to come out and throw everything at you, as we say down in Texas, where I come out, everything at you, including the kitchen sink. Anybody ever heard that one? I don't know where it come from or how it ever originated. Maybe I have to go Google that to find out, you know. They say you can Google anything, so maybe I can. I don't know. You know, notice whenever he believed he could walk on the water, he did. When fear took over and he said, what in the world am I doing out here? He started to sink. You know, failure or success is determined by what we continue to believe in the face of every obstacle, every circumstance, every situation, everything that's coming against us. Failure or success is determined by what we believe according to the Word of God. And keep believing. No matter what, we got to keep believing. You know, the battle that we all fight, you know, in the middle of going after whatever it is you're believing God for is fear that the enemy tries to put in there. We've got to learn to resist that. Man, you know how many times I say, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I say it to myself quite often. Because, hey, when you sit in my office at my desk, they ain't nowhere else to go. That's the top of the heap right there. Everybody wants to be on the top of the heap. And let me tell you what, it's not as much fun as most people think it is. Because now all I got between me and disaster is the Word of God. And my success or failure either depends on me standing on a word in the face of every kind of obstacle that you can think of. That's right. We started building this campus. I have a stack of bills on my desk. My dad was still here then, but he had already turned everything over to me to run it. He was there. He preached and taught, but he said, "You run it all." And so I'm looking. I got those. When I redid that office, I put those big windows in. My office is where the big windows are. I got the only big windows in that whole building over. So, and at that time, I could look all over the campus because they didn't have all these trees and stuff. And the devil said, "Man, look at that. You're going to tear down in 4 years. You're going to tear down what it's taken him 48 years to build. You turn it down right now." Man, the devil coming at me, man. And that's when I just took my Bible and I stood on it and looked out over there and I said, "I believe God." I wouldn't let him put me in that box. See, y'all going to have to, I can't, all I can do is talk to you about this. You're the one that's going to have to keep the devil from putting you in a box. Because he's going to try. He's going to try to put you in a box so that you can't get all of the blessings that God wants you to get. Because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God wants you to have life and have that more abundantly. Hello. As long as Peter thought in line with what Jesus said, come on, everything was all right. When we obey the word of God, we can accomplish whatever it is we need to accomplish. I can do. You need to get a hold of that statement and just keep on. I mean, that's my wife's favorite scriptures, and I can do. I believe I can do whatever God calls me to do. You know, I mean, here I am growing up in the preacher's house, and you know, I'm just a 14-year-old, and we got youth group going on, and speaker didn't show up, and oh, what are we gonna do? And they said, "Hey, can you do anything?" I said, "Yeah. Turn it over when it's time to speak. Turn it over to me." Well, the next thing that hit my mind was, "What are you talking about?" But then I go back to what I remember. Remember, I was born on Sunday, and I was in my dad's church the next Sunday morning, and I've been there all my life. I've been listening to him preach. I heard him preach more sermons on Mark 11:23 than y'all can even remember. And immediately I just said, "Well, I can do it because I've got God in me and I got the Holy Spirit in me. I can do it. See, you got to resist those thoughts. Resist that. If I would have started entertaining all that, I'd have got up there and sputtered around and messed up. That's what I'd have done. But you know what I did? Hey, I sat there and said, "I can do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God." And so I got up there and I just went over one of my dad's, you know, a sermon and heard him preach. Say it, do it, tell it. Say it, do it, receive it, tell it. I heard him preach it. I just got up there and preached it. You know, hey, it was good for him, so it ought to be good for me. Somebody said, "That's plagiarism." No, it's not. My name's Kenneth Hagin and his name's Kenneth Hagin, so I'm not plagiarist. It's not plagiarism. Brother John Olsen, he'd tell me, I love Brother John. I told him, I said, "Man, I preach some of your messages sometimes." He said, "I do yours too. I give you credit the first time. After that, it's mine." Obeying God's word and just believing what he said takes you out of the box. You know, I don't know. When I was growing up a kid, you know, they had this deal. You'd turn it, and then a guy would jump out of the box. Oh, yeah, Jack in the Box. Yeah, anybody know what I'm talking about? I know Jack in the Box, yeah. You'd turn it, you know, you'd turn that little handle, boom. That's what you need to do. Wind yourself up by the Holy Spirit, and then go, boom. scare everybody and the devil. See, we choose to live by the limitations and the impossibilities that the enemy and you might say the world, and the reason you do is because the enemy, the devil, is the god of this world. Paul says it there, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the god of this world, so he's the enemy, and he's got negative thoughts. And so we're gonna have to choose to not get in the box. You know. Some people want to say, well, now you need to think a little bit more clear about this, because now I don't know whether you can do everything that you're talking about. Hey, find out who you are in Christ. Finding out who you are in Christ is as important as learning to believe, because who you are in Christ will give you the power and the authority that you need. You know, you choose to believe the promises of God and go with the possibilities, or you choose to go with the world and the impossibility. It's up to you. Your choice. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Just don't stay in the box. Kick the side out. Kick the top off. Whatever you got to do, get out of the box and get on with your life with God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just talk to these people for a few moments tonight to inspire them to continue to live the good life that God wants them to have. Father, help us all to realize that the enemy's going to come and he's going to bring everything at us. But if we will stay true to your word, we'll come out on the successful side in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, everybody stand. Praise the Lord. Trust you got something out of that tonight. Don't let the devil put you in a box. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't let the devil put you in a box. Then say this with me. I'm getting rid of all the boxes, and I'm going to live the good life according to the word of God. It's mine. God said it belonged to me, so I take it. Hallelujah. Does that excite anybody? Should excite you. Should get you going, man. That should get your fire going pretty good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, if you happen to be with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you find yourself in a position that you've lost your faith and you need to rededicate your life, then as we're dismissed, if you'll come here to the front, the ladies here, the men over here, they'll pray with you and your life will be changed forever. If you need prayer for anything, if you need the Holy Spirit, you need prayer for healing, you need prayer of agreement about something, to come and they'll agree with you. If our connection team would find our first-time guests and take them to the place to receive the special gift that we have for them, we're so glad to have you with us tonight. Thank you for choosing to be with us. We have Our Power every Wednesday night, and then we have School of the Bible at 9 on Sunday morning, and then regular morning worship at 10, and then at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. This Sunday is a very special Sunday. Come, it's going to be great. It's a special service, and then we're going to go over there and we're going to cut the ribbon and dedicate that building, and then you're going to be able to tour the building, and there'll be some refreshments there. And it's going to be an exciting time. And then Sunday night, what happens? Winter Bible starts Sunday night. I work for 6 hours, I think, today on sermons for next week. And I'm pretty pumped up right now, as you might can tell. I'm ready and willing and raring to go. It's going to be a great time. Hey, Winter Bible is for the church here as much as it is for all these people coming from outside. So come, because at Winter Bible, a lot of times I cast vision that you need to hear and need to know about. the way I do it, I cast vision in with my messages. So when you don't hear some of my messages, you don't get the vision. All right. So come believing, come expecting. Hallelujah. Turn around, shake hands with somebody, and you're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday. Don't forget all the announcements.